You know, my mum had a heart murmur, and they were flying overseas, and the doctors wouldn't give her the clearance because of her heart murmur. She had to have it tested, and cardiologists were booked up for months in advance. And I heard about this guy in our church called Craig Letcher, and I said to my mum, I said, "Mum, is there any doctor that you have to see in Durban?" She said, "There's a guy called Letcher, Guy Letcher, but he's booked up months in advance." And so in the tent, probably about over there somewhere, I walked up to this young student that I'd never met. And I said, "Hi, Craig, my name's Rory." He said, "I know who you are." I said, "Craig, is your dad by any chance a cardiologist?" He said, "Yes, he is." I said, "Practicing in Durban?" He said, "Yes, he is." I said, "My mum needs an urgent appointment." And he phoned back and he said, "My dad's fully booked for many months, but my mum runs the practice and she'll open up at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning if your mum can be in Durban." And just because of the local church and a family called Letcher in Pretoria, my mum got an appointment in Durban because Caroline opened up a book at 6 o'clock in the morning for God to see her, get the clearance and go overseas. The local church is a magical place. It's a phenomenal place. It's an absolutely remarkable place. And I want to talk about the local church today. I want to tell a story about the Good Samaritan. And there are all sorts of different ways to look at it. But I want to tell you from a pastor's perspective as you go on holiday. And I want to tell you about the beauty of the church. God is everywhere, but God is particularly, when the people meet together, God is there. It says, "Do not forsake the gathering of the believers."
Amen.
So when you're away from church for 5 or 6 or 7 weeks, you'll start to notice that you get a little bit loose. Loose in the lip, loose with the booze. You just start to get loose. There's something about being together, young and old, rich and poor, married and single, English and Afrikaans, black and white, educated and uneducated. When we come together and humble ourselves at the foot of the cross, there's something that imparts into our lives. There's something that energizes us. There's something that holds us together. Every one of us has got a rebel in us. We've all got to drift. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, "Give careful attention to your great salvation, lest you drift." Lest you drift. All of us have got, like a bowling ball, when you throw a bowling ball, every one of us has got to drift. And when you come into the church and somebody greets you at the door, somebody just pulls you in. Somebody prays with you. When you sit at Menlyn and a man comes and sits next to you and your daughter is completely off the rails and says, "Don't worry, ma'am. God's got your youngest daughter in the palm of his hands." And then God sends that youngest daughter to this church and she sits under the preaching for 10 years before she decides to get baptized. Can you imagine the 1 millimeter changes of God in her life? For 10 years as she's sitting under the word. You know, the Bible says repent and be baptized. It should be immediate. Sometimes it's 10 years of sitting under the word. Just sitting. Imagine if she had pulled out 2 years ago and said, "No, that's enough of the local church for me. I've got my own stuff." But she sat another year and another year. And eventually God said, "Now's the time." Sharon. No ways. You are here. Wow. In the local church. Can I introduce you to my friends? Because this is Sharon Moyes. She is my friend. Her husband, Bill, was my friend. I met Bill on the side of a rugby field in Natal. And his son and my son over there captained the same first team rugby. And through that connection, we became friends. And they live in Joburg. And I'd get this SMS, "Are you preaching tomorrow, Rory? You mustn't send those SMSs." Because somebody sent me one last week, "Are you preaching tomorrow, Rory?" I said, "No, I'm not. The black guy is." And you know what happened? Somebody arrived here and said, if you are prepared to have a black guy preach in Pretoria, then I will join this church. God can do whatever he likes. But on Tuesday last week, Bill Moyes got up to go to the loo, as you do when you're older. And he had a heart attack. He passed away. And on Friday next week, we're doing Bill Moyes' funeral. I want to tell you, this family will look after you. It is a privilege to know your family. Your husband was an unbelievable man, an unbelievable man. And I know him in many ways, but the greatest way I know him was as a member of this church. He loved this church. He loved bringing his children to this church. I think my son can change his name to Moise, because the way he thought of my son was like his own son. He had phoned me before every rugby match. He'd say, "Hey, listen, buddy." And he'd say to Bill Moyes, "What's happening?" He says, "What do you want to happen? And I'll make it happen." And you're here today. Good morning. The local church is a magical place. The local church is a powerful place. Yesterday, I met the owner of Thirsty Water. He's one of our friends. He's a tough, strong, beautiful, humble, gracious, rich man. He's got bucks. And you know how he started this business? He's a forester. He plants trees. He's got sawmills and he plants trees. He's an amazing man, absolutely amazing man. And one of his sons found a trespass on their land. A lady carrying two buckets of water, walking off one of their plantations in Natal. And he said to her, "Where did you get the water?" She said, "I got it." He said, "But you're on my property, you're a trespasser. You know what you should do with trespassers? You should lock them up. Unless you're a gospel person and you give trespass." He said, "Where did you get the water?" She said, "I must tell you, I must show you where you got the water." And he took him to a secret source 4 years ago, and that's how that company was formed. When a gospel man let a trespasser off the hook and birthed a company that is turning over hundreds and hundreds of millions of rands every year selling water. And they're in the local church and they've built the local church and they give to the local church. And when my friend Elliot died, his son was up in Johannesburg, and he said, "Take the aeroplane from Normandine and send the aeroplane to Joburg and pick him up there and bring him home, because I've got resources and we're all in the same church and I need my plane to fly the boy home." And when he got washed out to sea, the funeral that we did yesterday, when he got washed out to sea, he said, "Put the aeroplanes in the air and go and search the coastline." You see, friends, the local church is a magical place. Inside of the local church are people who own aeroplanes and people who can serve coffee and those who can wash dishes and some who can preach and some who can lead worship. But when we give ourselves to the local church, we start to see miracles. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. These lawyers are unbelievable, aren't they? If you're a lawyer, God bless you. My friend gave me a book, Lawyers and Other Despicable Creatures. So all you advocates, you normally sit over there somewhere. You're a beautiful bunch. I met an advocate the other day from Pretoria. When he heard I was a preacher, he started swearing at me. But anyway, God bless you, lawyers. I hope you get to heaven. It's going to be harder for you, I think. But anyway, relax. Jaap, moet my na die hof toe vat nie. Asseblief. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor and Eskom as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. Doesn't sound like a lawyer. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Here's a story we're going to read. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho." Say Jerusalem to Jericho. "When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and they went away leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side." Religion will never ever heal you. "So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he also passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan..." Jews and Samaritans hated each other. They were arch enemies. And you're about to go and have Christmas with your family. Scripture's for you. "But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man..." And for those of you who have got wounds, Don't drown them with wine. That's, the story's not saying that. Biggie vein for the pain. Then he put the man on his own donkey. He took him to an inn and he took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. I want to talk to you, friends, as we go from this place into different places. Some of you are going to go and pick up shells in Knysna. But as we leave the center of what God is doing, I want you to have mercy wherever you go. Wherever you go, you have mercy. It doesn't matter who you meet with. It doesn't matter if it's your arch enemy or a family member that you don't get on with. I'm asking you to have mercy. I did the funeral here on Monday of a member of our church, Richard Nell, who was shot dead in a house robbery on Sunday last week. He has got a wife, Shanae, and 2 small children, Adam and Luca. They are 7 and 4. They need somebody who will cross the divide and have mercy on them. Yesterday, we did the funeral of a little boy or 20-year-old boy whose dad died of COVID 6 months before. Somebody, whether it's the guy from Thirsty Water or whether it's the next door neighbor, somebody has to cross the divide to heal their wound, to have mercy on them. When Bill Moyes would phone and come to church, he would drive from Hurlingham every Sunday and bring Sharon and then his son Darren. I did his son Carl's wedding, where they would drive across here. They would come to church here. And so when we had to meet to arrange the funeral, Sharon SMS me, he said, let's meet halfway. I said, Sharon, your husband never met halfway. Your husband didn't come halfway to church. Your husband never loved halfway. Your husband didn't support my son halfway. Your husband went the whole way. He went across the divide. And so Sharon, the least I can do to honor your husband is drive to your home instead of meet you in the Mall of Africa. And friends, the gospel we preach is an inconvenient gospel. We have a thing on our staff, our friends don't catch Uber. You say, but Uber's convenient. I say, but we're not trying to build convenient. So we'll get in our cars and we'll drive to the airport. Yesterday, Clint got into his car. He drove 600 kilometers. He went to a funeral and then he got back in his car and he drove home. He's here leading the meeting. You think, what is this guy, Clint? Who is this guy, Clint? He's a 1,200-kilometer guy who goes to memorial services because some of our friends needed help, needed mercy. Amen? I have a friend of mine who bought a car. He's a pastor in Durban. And he bought a car from a guy in White River. Not wise. And it doesn't have papers. And so he phoned me and he said, hey, Rory, I've bought this car from a guy in White River and it doesn't have papers. Can you help me? I'm thinking, huh? But a couple of Sundays ago, there was a guy sitting over there and he told me that his mate owns We Buy Cars. And so I phoned him. I said, listen, China, this car, which is owned by the dealership's name, is actually still in We Buy Cars' name. So he obviously bought the car, never ever paid the money, transferred the car, and gave the car to my mate, and now there's a big mess. How are we going to fix it? So I just sent a message to my mate and said, hey, can you sort this out, bro? This is the voice note I got yesterday. Can you play the voice note?
Hey, my buddy, just want to thank you so much for helping out with Farn and We Buy Cars. We Buy Cars phoned and got a hold of the guy who phoned me this morning. Not the same guy who I bought the car from. He's a skullduggerous person in a lot of trouble. But another guy who is able to help, and he's got the logbook. So I give thanks to Jesus. This guy says to me, it was an absolute miracle that the way this happened. So sometime I will send you a voice note telling you of the miracle. But just want to say thank you, bro. Jaden's car is all sorted. Should get the logbook next week.
You put the SMS up, please. Please pass on massive thanks to Fawn. He's not part of this church, but he's part of a church. He serves God in Kuro, in Hazeldean, and the headmaster sits over there, And the headmaster from Hazeldene allowed a church to meet in there. And inside of that church is Fawn. And one of Fawn's mates says, yeah, you see, friends, they went from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem was where the Spirit of God was. We're about to leave Pretoria and go to Nasna, and some of you are going overseas, and some of you are going down to the beach. You've got to be careful when you leave the center. God is everywhere. But when you leave the center, you have to be careful that you don't drift. He left Jerusalem and was going down to Jericho. The moment you leave the presence of God, we expose ourselves to trouble. Keep your disciplines in place. Keep your accountability in place. Make sure that you stay linked to the miracle. Whether it's the guy we buy cars, or whether it's the guy who owns the aeroplane, or it's the guy that lets the trespasser off the hook so that they can start a water business. They were also on eldership with us. They just got on the aeroplane yesterday, flew to Durban, hired a car, drove to Hilton, went to the reception, drove back, said to me, are you all right to preach on Sunday? I said, yeah, I'm okay. But he said, I'm ready to preach if you're not ready to preach. I thought, gee, black oak 2 weeks in a row, that's a bit hectic for Pretoria. You'll think there's like a rebellion or something taking place. Guys, relax. He's my very dear friend. So, Fawn, I don't know who you are, but I know you've got a friend here. And when we're together, miracles take place. Car papers from White River get sent to Durban, and airplanes take off in the air, and Janine's mother's prayers get answered through a group of people, and the guard Kira opens his school for her. You see, friends, this is, don't walk away from Jerusalem, even when you go on holiday. Don't walk away from the center of God. Don't forget God. Don't forget what it means to be part of a community of rich and old and young and black and white and qualified and educated and uneducated. Don't forget. A man walked in, you can shine on this. A man walked in here on Thursday to the church. He's the man from Stellenbosch who I drank wine with. My only one and only wine tasting opportunity. He then came to visit the church here. He got so radically touched here that today in Stellenbosch he's being baptized. Wow. He came and he said, hey Rory, do you know anybody who buys diamonds? I said, I know a lot of people, bro. He said, can you do me a favor? I said, sure. He said, can I give you this ring? And can you give it to your friend? And can you put the money in the Stellenbosch bank accounts for their building? So he gave me the ring. And my wife was away this week with my son. It's so nice to have you back. So my other son and I went out for dinner, and I forgot that this thing was in my bag. So I just left it in my car. We went for dinner, and I got back in my car, and we came home. And then I pulled out the valuation certificate. 1 million rand. Wow. 1 million rand. Sure. Do you mind just taking this ring and giving it to your mate and selling it? And don't send the money to me. Just put the money in the bank account in Stellenbosch. And I want to tell you that the man who knows Fawn from We Buy Cars, who sits in our building, is the man who bought the land in Stellenbosch to do a development and given a section of that land to Adrian. You see, Jerusalem is a very sacred place. To be here on a Sunday is a very sacred place. Beautiful. You must never take for granted Mr. and Mrs. Letcher and Janine Miller and all that is going on. Aeroplanes and water, and you don't know the history, but Jerusalem is a sacred place. The local church is a sacred place. And when Sharon Moyes gets in her car the week that she's lost her husband and does exactly what her husband does, is just drive all the way from Hurlingham to Pretoria to be with God's people. Beautiful. It's safe when you're in Jerusalem. Be careful in Nasna. Be careful in Mauritius. Be careful in Dubai. Wherever you go, or Biffles by. Bahan yay, Dubai, and yay, Biffles by. Ha 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 ha. I remember a guy on the microphone, "Das a dance for Nantes, but he got a fun park." Ah, it's lekker, eh? Second thing, be careful, Mr. Fenter, when you leave the center. I'm speaking to you as a pastor from a story. Many people say this is Jesus, and he picks the guy up and he takes him to the local church, and the two silver coins of baptism. And I'm telling you as a pastor, this is a story for us as we go our different ways. Secondly, be careful when you drive on dangerous roads. That road between Jerusalem and Jericho was known to be a dangerous road. I worked out with my son's schooling. He's finished matric now. But with my son's schooling and my business, I've passed 600,000 trucks on the road. 600,000 trucks have come at me in the 5 years that my son has been at school. 600,000 trucks. Yesterday, there was a major accident between Harry Smith and Warden. Many people killed where trucks. And many times you're on the road here and you here and two trucks are coming on and you've got no chance unless somebody's with you. Don't travel alone. Don't travel alone on dangerous roads, church. Don't travel alone on dangerous roads. And some of you might, you must travel with somebody. If it's not with God, then it must be with somebody. But don't travel alone on dangerous roads. Our roads are full of potholes, they're full of danger, and they're full of robbers. And as we go in our different ways, I just want to say to you, make sure that you're safe. I do not get in my car before I've prayed. I pray for the tires, I pray for the engine, I pray for the other drivers, I pray for my own stupidity. I just pray because they're dangerous roads. And I'm not talking about physical traveling. I'm talking about moral traveling. I'm talking about financial traveling. Don't go and buy Christmas presents that you can't afford and spend up paying shops for the next year because you can't afford it, but you're trying to keep up with people. Christmas is a dangerous place for Christians. Don't get yourself into debt. If you can't buy your children presents, then get before God and ask God for a scripture and write it down. But don't get hijacked on a dangerous road. The Bible says this in John chapter 10. The thief comes to rob, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came to give us life and life abundantly. Many people, included in this room, if you do not understand my deep appeal, you'll be robbed at this time. Robbed of your position in Christ. Robbed of your purity. Robbed of your peace. Don't let the robber come close to you. My position is secure in Christ. I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to undress myself. I don't have to let any man touch me. Ladies, to prove that you are worth it, you are worth it. Jesus died for you. Jesus set you free. Don't let somebody rob you with their nice, sweet words and a couple of extra whiskeys. And friends, while you're sitting out in Nazna for too long by yourself, 5-6 weeks without fellowship, being under the word of God, I give you my everything. Who can save me? Who can rescue me? Jesus, Yahweh. While you're sitting under that, God is constantly just touching us, healing us, ministering to us, adjusting us, dealing with my drift. One whiskey becomes two. Two whiskeys become three. Three whiskeys become four. Yes. Four whiskeys become five. You say, are you preaching legalism to me? I'm just saying to you, be careful of the robber on the lonely road. Be careful of the robber on the lonely road. And then you know the amazing thing? Is that every single one of us have got resources. Time, money, aeroplanes, diamond rings, words, prayer, love. If you said to Craig Letcher, Craig, what is the greatest gift your mum has ever given you? You say, good meals, lifts to school, financial sacrifice. He'll say, the best gift my mum's ever given to me is prayer. And I want to ask you, friends, as difficult as your home situation is at this time, that you will not be the religious person who stands on some kind of holy ground and walks around the problem and walks around the problem and walks around the problem, but that you would take every single resource you have and you will walk towards the problem and say, you can ride on my donkey, you can have my money, I will make sure that you get better. I've been praying a lot this week, and I'm incredibly jealous for the well-being of the people that God has sent to us. I'm incredibly jealous. This is not a legalistic preach. This is a cry from deep within of my soul for your freedom and for your well-being. This guy, that tough man, beautiful man, but my mum lived in the Midlands of Natal, and her next door neighbor was this man's best friend. And they had a fallout. They've been friends for 40 years. They had a fallout over a stupid thing. And I heard that they hadn't spoken for about 18 months. One of the resources that I have is people can't say no to me. It's a gift that God gave to me. If I ask you for lunch, you'll do anything, but you'll have lunch with me. And I phoned this man, and I phoned my mum's next door neighbor, and I said, it's not right that you're not together. And they said, yes, but we don't know what to do. I said, but I'm going to invite you to a meeting. And so these two big business heavyweights, and I'm nothing, eh? I'm nothing. I'm seriously, they are big heavyweights. They are multi-millionaire guys. And we sat in a room, and I said, now say sorry to each other. You both believe in Jesus. Say sorry. And yesterday when he came to see me, he said, thank you for reuniting us. It's as if nothing ever happened. That's my resource. That's my resource. I couldn't give them money. They've got enough. I can't give them business advice. They're better businessmen than me. But I could put them together. I have two prayers. That you would use every single resource that God has given to you. And then I'm going to pray a prayer of protection that none of you will be robbed of anything. Not one thing will be robbed from you. Not one thing would be robbed from you at this time. Can we pray? Lift your hands just as a sign of just an openness. Lord God, you used seriously, Lord God, a very ordinary pastor from Pretoria to reconcile two seriously heavyweight businessmen. Because you gave me the ability where people can't say no. And inside of this room, Lord God, are airplanes and trains and diesel factories, Lord God. There are mining experts. There are mothers here, Lord God. There are bakers. There are chefs. There are servants. There are baristas. There are geologists. There are teachers. There are headmasters, Lord God. There are leadership gurus. There are manufacturers and engineers and professors sitting here. We have got resources here, Lord, that can cross the great divide. That those who are stuck on the side of the road, beaten, naked, and half dead, we can show them mercy. Yes, amen. Sometimes, Lord God, those are our own family members. Mm. We show them mercy.
Thank you, Father.
And now I pray, Lord, a pastor's prayer from the bottom of my heart, that no robbers would rob one member of our church of one thing, Father. That you would protect them in the name of Jesus. That you would go ahead of them, Lord, as they move from the center of Jerusalem down dangerous roads of Jericho. I pray, Lord God, that not one would give away that which you have so hard fought for so hard, Lord God. At 10 years to get Janine into a baptism pool, that fight is real, Lord God. That fight is long, and that fight, Lord God, is honest. But I pray, Lord God, that that girl would not take one step backwards. And those who are sitting here wrestling with the faith, Lord God, wrestling with salvation, wrestling with your mercy and your grace, little by little understanding, and I pray not one ounce of that would be robbed from them, Lord Jesus. They would not fall into the hands of robbers. Their position, their purity, Lord God, their peace would not be robbed. That as they walk into family homes with years of historical anger, I pray, Lord God, the peace would not be robbed, because you are the peace. You are the government. You are the Son of God. You have saved us. You have clothed us with righteousness, God. And whatever people say to me, Lord God, it cannot undermine what you say to me. I love you, Rory. You are my son, Rory. You are my favorite, Rory. And you say that over every single person here, Lord God. I cannot be belittled in the company of humans. I cannot be belittled in the company of humans. I cannot be belittled by my race. I cannot be belittled by my culture. I cannot be belittled in the company of humans, Lord God, because you told me that I'm your son, not your colored son, not your black son, not your white son, your son. And I pray for grace over our people. Those who have just finished matric, those who are going to rage. Lord God, I pray nothing would be robbed from those kids. Nothing would be robbed from them, Lord God. I pray for marriages in this place, Lord God. I pray for single girls. I pray for lonely people at Christmas. They would not sell their loneliness, Lord God, for a pot of stew. They would not sell their inheritance for 5 minutes of stupidity. May your grace and your kindness and your love and your goodness and your grace just saturate the people of 3CR, those who are visiting here today. I think of the Gerber family who came out to celebrate their dad's 90th birthday, sitting here. Bless the Gerber family. Bless their 90-year-old dad. Bless Corneille and Elise. Bless these people, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.